Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Let's grab our teaching outline and want to welcome everybody here in the sanctuary. If you're joining us online, awesome to have you with us. And if you're in the cafe, what a great place to take in the service. I want to invite each and every one of you to take a road trip with me. Not to Santa Rosa, as you're thinking, but down a road called the Jericho Road. We're in the second week of our series. It's based on the parable of the Good Samaritan, which took place on the Jericho Road, a very familiar place that led from Jerusalem down toward the Judean wilderness, a road that I've traveled many times, right through the canyons there. We'll be there in just a few weeks. Me and 20 folks from Gateway will be on the Jericho Road. But the Jericho Road is it's a message, not just a location. It teaches us about loving and caring for people and being fully devoted disciples of Jesus, Christ-like people who are going to do the works that he has commanded us to do. As a part of that, and a little bit later in the service, Pastor Mike is going to be sharing some things that are great news that I want you to be aware of concerning Gateway Community Outreach and our We Love This City involvement in the city. And then at the end also of the service, as always, we're going to have some Holy Spirit time, prayer time, and availability of people to talk with you and help you. Today's message is called I See You, and it's about a key spiritual lesson. And the lesson is that Jesus shows us the needs of others. Jesus shows us the needs of others. Let's take a look at the parable, which gives us so much information about God's will for our lives. Here it is, Luke chapter 10, the setup and then the story itself. A scholar of the Hebrew Scriptures tried to trap Jesus. Scholar: "Teacher, what must I do to experience the eternal life?" Jesus: "What is written in the Hebrew Scriptures? How do you interpret their answer to your question?" Scholar: "You shall love. Love the Eternal One, your God, with everything you have, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus: "Perfect. Your answer is correct. Follow these commands, and you will live." The scholar was frustrated by this response because he was hoping to make himself appear smarter than Jesus. Scholar: "Ah, but who is my neighbor?" And Jesus begins the story. This fellow was traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho when some robbers mugged him. They took his clothes, beat him to a pulp, and left him naked and bleeding in critical condition. By chance, a priest was going down the same road, and when he saw the wounded man, he crossed over to the other side and passed by, just kept going. Everybody say, cold as ice. Woo. Then a Levite was on his way to assist in the temple doing his religious duty. He also came and saw the victim lying there, and he too kept his distance. Then a despised Samaritan journeyed by. There he saw, when he saw the fellow, he felt compassion for him. The Samaritan went over to him, stopped the bleeding, applied some first aid, and put the poor fellow on his donkey. He brought the man to an inn and cared for him through the night. The next day, the Samaritan took out some money, 2 days' wages to be exact, and he paid the innkeeper, saying, "Please take care of this fellow, and if this isn't enough, I'll repay you next time I pass through." Now, which of these three proved himself a neighbor to the man who had been mugged by the robbers? Scholar: "The one who showed mercy to him." Jesus: "Well then, go and behave like that Samaritan." Master storyteller. I mean, Jesus paints a picture that is unforgettable, one of the great stories ever told to communicate the truth about God's love. Think about the features of this epic tale. The humiliating and violent attack against this man, that left him literally in critical condition. And then there's the cold avoidance, you know, pretending they didn't see him, of the religious leaders who become the buffoons of this story. And the surprise twist of a Samaritan, a despised Samaritan, a racial outcast to the Jews. He becomes the hero because he stops and he helps the man who is his traditional enemy, at least according to what society held at that time. But the primary thing I want us to focus on this morning is that the Good Samaritan saw this man's needs. For the Levite and for the priest, this man was virtually invisible. They avoided him. It's like he was Casper the Ghost. He didn't exist, right? He's laying there bleeding, and they just kind of step over him. He's invisible. But the Samaritan had eyes. He could see what was happening in this man's life, and it affected him so that he met his neighbor's need and acted. What was his need? Well, I mean, clearly he needed medical attention. He was in critical condition. He needed support. He needed healing. He needed a place. He needed protection. This critical condition man who's really at the end, I mean, he's unconscious for all we know. He certainly isn't able to help himself. And it makes me think of those times that you and I are so broken in our lives that really, even though somebody might say to us, hey, get up and, you know, pull yourself together. But you're in such a condition that you can't pull yourself together. There are some times when your condition, when what's happening in your life is so severe that you can't pull the trigger on getting it together. It takes someone else to help you. And how many of you have been in a place like that in your life where you just totally broken, and it's humiliating to be able to have to ask other people for help? And for all our judgmental opinions about other people and their problems and that kind of underlying, say, well, you know, the reason you're in that situation, you probably shouldn't have been on the Jericho Road, you know. You probably should have known better than to travel by yourself. Far as I know, you got what you deserved. Hope you learn a good lesson. That's not what Jesus was applauding. Jesus was applauding somebody that would change their schedule, change their plans, rearrange their life, and help a fellow human being, a neighbor who needed help. One of our guys in our church, he found himself in ICU, intensive care unit, and he was in pretty bad condition, as you can imagine. You don't get there by being in good health. And he was crying out to God, saying, Lord, what's happening in my life? And he looked up at the sign on the wall, and it said, I see you. I see you. And that little sign was a prompt from the Holy Spirit. Like, he felt in his brokenness, hey, you know, this is bad, but I see you. You're not invisible. In other words, you know, I've got this. People may not see you, but I see you. I love you, and I'm here with you. Some of you in this room, people listening to my voice today, you might be in an ICU spot. You might be in a place where you're looking and saying, Lord, what am I doing here? I thought your promise was I wouldn't go through stuff like this. I thought, well, how did I end up in this place? And I believe the Lord is speaking the same thing to you and I constantly. He loves us, and he sees us even in the worst circumstances. I think it's important that we know that God sees us. Amen. And God wants us to have the same kind of eyes for other people. Eyes that see in deeper ways than normal physical eyes. God wants to give us eyes that are more spiritual. Look at the scriptures. Ephesians says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you can know the hope of your calling. Paul is praying that He's not praying for our physical eyes. He's praying for the eyes of our heart, our inner eyes, so that we could have sight, so that we could see things that other people normally overlook. And Jesus was talking to one of the churches in the book of Revelation. He said, take some advice from me. He says, go down and get yourself some of that eye salve that is you're famous for here in this region, some of that medicine, and put it on your own eyes. Was he talking about their physical eyes? No, of course, he was talking about their spiritual eyes. Anoint your eyes. Put this eye salve on your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart, so that you can really begin to see things that other people don't see. There is none so blind as those who will not see. That's not talking about what we see in this 3D physical world. It's talking about how aware we are of what's happening around us. Eyes are about awareness. And God wants us to be aware of what's happening in our heart, in our family. We need, as fathers, we need to have eyes for our children. We need to have eyes into the heart and soul of our spouse. We need to have eyes as believers into our community. We need to have our eyes open and look and see what's going on. God wants to give us those kinds of eyes. And I think for us as a church, as followers of Jesus, it's so important for us to have eyes, especially in a world where so many people are exactly like this man bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. So many people in our world are invisible and feel invisible. When you're stepped over, when you're bypassed, when people are too busy, when they utterly overlook you, you feel invisible. And it's crazy that in a city of over 3 million people here in Santa Clara County, where we're crowded and there's traffic, and it's kind of crazy that so many people can literally be invisible to us. We walk past them, we don't really look at them. And especially for some reason, if they're hurting, we just kind of, you know, the old phrase is we turn a blind eye. God doesn't want us to have a blind eye. He wants to have us a seeing eye. I felt somehow, I don't think I realized it at the time. I'm not sure if this word invisible makes sense to you, but I realized later after receiving Christ and looking back on my life as a child, a kind of a permeating feeling of invisibility. Just kind of fading into the background, just not really being present. When the Lord touched me, it was like shocking to me that God saw me and that he knew me and that he loved me. I'm not saying I deserve to feel that or other. That's just a feeling that we have. Sometimes in this world, we can feel very alone. How many of you remember how utterly lost you felt before you knew Jesus? You think back on those moments and you go, that is an utter lostness. That doesn't mean maybe you were the worst sinner on earth. But just the disconnection, the detachment from the life of God and from the world around you. And then God saves you and fills you and touches you and wants you then to remember this, that people on the Jericho Road often feel invisible. People around us, whether it's a trafficked young girl or whether it's a homeless person or whether it's a single mom, or an alcoholic businessman, or your next door neighbor. You might look at them. Maybe they drive a nice car. Maybe they wear nice clothes. And you would think, well, he doesn't have any needs. And as far as our heart is concerned, that person just becomes invisible. We just don't deal with the reality of who they are and what their need might be. People on the Jericho Road feel invisible. When you are broken, when you are bleeding, and people are stepping over you, there's a sense of invisibility. And that invisibility causes people to seek affirmation and love in all the wrong places. That's why so many people do things that they surprise themselves. They get into an affair. They begin to do drugs or abusing alcohol or doing crazy things that they never thought they would do. They're reaching for something to medicate, to become visible, to somehow live life. And I think that it is the job of the church to have different eyes than the rest of the world. To not look away from people that are broken and bleeding, but to look directly at them, to affirm them, and to see them. Because this is who God is. If you feel invisible, I want you to know that God sees you. Hagar discovered this in Genesis chapter 16. She called the Lord, the one who sees me. Hallelujah. She said, I've seen now the one who sees me. I'm not invisible anymore. Why? Because God met her need and opened up a fountain for her and gave her a promise and gave her a destiny. God wants to give you a promise. He wants to open up a fountain for you. He wants to prompt somebody to see you that doesn't usually see you. Somebody that can love you and be Jesus to you. Every one of us needs eyes to see the pain in other people. Could I have an amen on a Sunday morning to that? God wants us to see. You say, well, they shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't feel that way. Yeah, but they do, you know. Let's not have the argument about whether women should feel this way or minorities should feel that way or whether homeless people should be, you know, whether they should or shouldn't, they do. Acknowledge it. A broken person feels worthless. A homeless person feels invisible. And we can have the argument from an intellectual standpoint about what they should and shouldn't do and how many opportunities they did or didn't have and how they could. The bottom line is God wants us to open our eyes to see where people are living and what they're experiencing in their life, and that sometimes it's not just a matter of lifting yourself up by your own bootstraps, get your act together, you know, pull yourself together. Sometimes you need a little help from somebody else. And this is what I think Jesus is driving at. And he's driving at the utter blindness of people that should have known better. People that were in the Word. People that were in the temple. People that were, you know, supposed to be following God seemed to be the blindest ones. And it was the surprise character, the people that everybody else thought, well, these guys are the losers, the Samaritans. I mean, what do they know? And he became the hero. So I want to just take a few minutes and just share with you how we can really see other people. We're walking down this Jericho road of life. How can we really see other people's pain? How can we really see and have our eyes opened? I think first, it's important that we look at the heart, not the appearance. Don't let someone's hair or tattoo or business suit. Reverse discrimination, right? Weird people don't like normal people just as much as normal people don't like weird people, right? And what is weird and what is normal anyway? I think I've lost track. But don't let someone else's appearance, color of their skin, where they're from economically, what part of the country that we have such vast labels and tags for one another. It's all based on the external. Does God see other people through the labels, tags, hair, tattoo, lack of tattoo, suit and tie? Is that the way God sees people? The Bible says clearly that he's looking at the heart. See, people have one way of sizing you and I up, but God has a completely different way. And so if we're going to have eyes for one another, we've got to be discerning. We've got to get past, you know, the story on the surface to the story down below, to the real story. The Bible talks about having an understanding heart. I like that word understanding. It means you go under the surface. You don't look at the surface, you go under. Husbands, do you have an understanding view of your children, of your spouse, your wife? Do you see the words, you see the actions, but are you willing to step back and think, now, what's going on under the surface here? Why is this child acting out? Why is my wife upset? Are you just dealing constantly? God wants to give us eyes. I want us just to take our hands right now and just say, Lord, give me eyes to see. Open the eyes of my understanding, Lord. Lord, help me to see my family. Help me to see people around me in just a very different way than other people see. Thank you, Lord. I think the second thing is that we look with eyes of compassion. We don't look with eyes of judgment or eyes of what someone deserves, maybe in our opinion, or and what they truly may deserve. You know, compassion is for broken people. Mercy is for the miserable. You know, you don't look at people that are broken and wounded with logic. You have to look with compassion. Logic will excuse you from doing anything. Logic will say, well, you know, if he had done this and hadn't done that, then he wouldn't be in that situation. Logic just gives you a pass, just gives you, makes you feel so good. You could just step right over this bleeding guy based on logic. But when you have a heart like Jesus, you don't have to figure it out. You just see a hurting person and you help them. Luke 19, this is the way Jesus looked. He looked at Jerusalem. And he saw the city. Was he looking with just his physical eyes? I believe he's looking with the eyes of his heart. He really saw that city. And that's what caused him to weep. It wasn't the buildings he was looking at or the roof line or the landscape. What he saw was the needs of people. What he saw was missed opportunity. What he saw was tragic bondage and tragic spiritual blindness. Here he was, the savior of their scriptures. The walking, talking fulfillment of their own prophets. He came to his own, and his own received him not. What a colossal blindness. But he saw, and it moved him, not with anger, not with vindictive judgment, where he could have called down, you know, fire on Jerusalem and just smoked it in a second. He was moved by compassion. There's so many beautiful compassion scriptures in the Bible. I believe Jesus is looking at our city in the same way. I believe he wants to do something great in our city, and he wants to use us. Amen. I love this, Matthew 13. For the hearts of these people are hardened. Wow. What are the symptoms of a hard heart? Keep reading. Their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. How do you know if you have a hard heart? Well, if your eyes are open and your ears are open, you're not a hard-hearted person. Pretty simple. And he says this, and I want to just speak this to you. He says, but blessed are your eyes, because they see. Everybody say this with me. My eyes are blessed. I do see. Right? See, you've got Christ in you. You've got Christ in you. His eyes are in you. And if you'll lean not on your flesh and your understanding, but you'll really be spirit-led, spirit-prompted, really devoted to Christ-likeness, becoming who he is, what happens is you start looking not with your natural eyes, but with your spiritual eyes, the eyes of Christ in you, and you begin to see. What he was saying, what Jesus was saying is, look at these religious leaders. They are just blind. But you simple followers of me, untrained in the scripture, uneducated, unsophisticated, you're not wearing the robes and the collars and all of that, but you are truly spiritually alive. God isn't looking at your qualifications and your degrees and all of the externals. God is looking at what is in your heart. Are you truly a lover and follower of Him? And if you are truly loving and following Him, He doesn't say to you, get some eyes. He says, you already have eyes. I've given you eyes. Blessed are you because you have those eyes. You just need to learn to use them. The last piece of this, if we're going to really see each other on the Jericho Road, we certainly need to look at the heart and not the appearance. We need to look with eyes of compassion and love, but we also need to look at what the Father directs you to do. Now, I'm going to say this to us. No one here can do it all. And let me just, because I'm teaching you on this Jericho Road thing, and hey, let's don't step over people and all that. But the reality is, Jesus is not telling us to meet every person's need in our life. Probably one of the greatest, most painful conflicts of the way I have experienced ministry is the fact that I can't do it all. I can't help every missionary. I can't take on every project. I can't kiss every boo-boo. I can't be there for every person. I can't say yes to every person who says, can you give me 3 hours? It is a difficult, painful aspect. But here's what I've learned. I've learned what Jesus said in John 5. I tell you the solemn truth, the Son can do nothing on His own initiative. Let's go back to John 5. The Son can do nothing on His own initiative, but only what He sees the Father doing. Here's how you negotiate God's plan for you to be a healer, to be a Jericho Road success, to be a good Samaritan. Here's how you do it. You walk with your eyes open, and you have to become Spirit-led. You cannot surrender your life to need. And I know that it would make you very nervous if I would say to you, listen, whenever you see a need, you better meet it. Because the need is overwhelming, isn't it? Right? So then which ones do we meet? Who do we stop for? We stop for the ones that we feel that prompt. We have to do what we see the Father directing us to do. If God has given you a calling, you do it. He's directing you. If He gives you a prompting, you do it. And every one of us, the question is not, should we feel that prompt? Every person should be prompted by the Lord to do something. So we can neither excuse ourselves by saying, well, somebody else will do it. The church will do it. We don't step over a hurting person and say, somebody ought to do something about this. What's wrong with this church? This guy right here, you're stomping his chest. This guy right here. Somebody needs to come and get him. Well, maybe that's going to be you. But we can't do it all, can we? So we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is where you have to stay close to the heart of Jesus. You know, your prayer time, your surrender of your life daily to say, Jesus, just guide my day. There may be surprises in my day. There may be things going in my day that I wasn't expecting. Lord, help me to discern those moments when you're prompting me by the Holy Spirit to be involved. Jesus got involved. Aren't you glad He got involved in our lives? When we were bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road, He was sensitive to the Father. He followed the Father's command to get involved, to heal us. He saw us. He addressed our need on the cross. He rose from the dead. He makes His promises to us. And today you and I can know His healing love because He got involved and He acted. And this is just really what Jesus is really teaching in this parable, is how to be like Him. Jesus is the one that stopped on the road for you and I, and so we follow Him. Let me just wrap this up. In a minute, Pastor Mike's going to come, and we'll share some things. But For me, the parable of the Good Samaritan is really one that talks. It really speaks. On this Jericho road, we need to gain eyes. I'm really asking God that we would not be a blind church. I don't believe we are a blind church, but I want him to open our eyes, because doing the right thing and being led by the Spirit, none of that can happen until we get our eyes open. He wants us to see things that other people miss. He wants us to address the invisible, to love them as he does. He wants us to look at people's hearts, not their appearance. He wants us to see with compassion and not judgment. He wants us to be led by the Spirit, not to embrace every last need. We can't. But to be directed by him and by the Father as to what we can do. I'll close with this story. It was about 8 years ago. Pastor Mike was there, Pastor Chip, many of our pastors, Pastor John, Pastor Brad, Pastor Albert. I can remember walking the fields of that Edenvale area. We went and threw a ball with those kids, and we were looking at opportunity to get involved in a very needy neighborhood, which, by the way, that Edenvale neighborhood is more needy than even when we got there those years ago. So we mobilized an outreach day. We went out to the Baldwin School and did some outreaches there, food and games and egg hunts. This was right around Easter time. We did the same thing in the Edenvale area and got involved. And we did a prayer walk the week before, if I remember the details correctly. And as we were walking that Edenvale neighborhood, God opened my eyes. And I saw something that I didn't know how to file or what to do with it, if it was a command for us to do it, but I saw it really clearly. I saw chaplains walking the streets of Edenvale, getting to know the neighbors and really hooking them up with prayer if they needed it, or with social services if they needed it. And I started to dream, and I told the guys, wouldn't it be amazing if someday we could have chaplains in broken neighborhoods like this? Fast forward 8 years to next Sunday, when we will be ordaining 4 chaplains from our church into the Edenvale neighborhood. Something that God revealed. Listen, when your eyes are open, amazing things can happen. Amen. I want Pastor Mike to come and just share a few things about what's happening. This might take a few minutes. Let's just relax, and we'll come to our prayer and a few things like that. I want to really make sure that we are all on this page. Pastor Mike, our community pastor, talk to us about what's going on with community.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor David. You guys excited? You can kind of feel something in the atmosphere, right, of what the Lord is trying to do. We talked about last week getting our eyes off of us and on to him. And then now, Lord, reveal in our eyes. Let us see what you want to accomplish. Let us see the hurting. Let us see the lost. And Lord, put something inside of us. And I just want to come alongside you and partner with you on being able to reach the things that we see. And when we see those things, how do we activate? How do we get involved? And how do we minister to hurting people in our community? Amen? All right, but I need your help, okay? Because this is going to be a little bit of a punch list. So what I'm going to do over the next couple minutes is I'm going to share what we're doing right now and then what we're dreaming to do in the future. So when I share with you what we're doing, I want you to say, that's awesome, okay? And then when I say, this is what we want to do, I want you to say, let it be so. And I want it to get in us today. I want us to get excited that we can be an impact into our community. Amen? You guys on board? Do you remember the two things you're saying? That is awesome. Let it be so. Amen. The first thing I want to tell you about is we have a wonderful property in the Las Casitas neighborhood on the east side of San Jose. It's right across from a high school. And I was there just the other day. There's about 4 little rooms set up, and the door opens up to the high school. And right now, we've been doing ESL classes. Pastor David Lee has been doing an amazing job. Nancy Domingo, are you here? Nancy needs a big round of applause. Nancy's been serving over there faithfully. We want to go in there. We want to revamp. We want to emphasize. We want to do more. We want to take a focus on reaching high school students. So we're looking at after school programs. There's some of our partner ministries. We're looking at doing maybe even a weekly service at night, a little evening service for the apartment complex and community. So we're really excited for what God is doing. So let me hear you say, that is awesome. And we want to do more. So we're looking at those weekly services and after school programs for kids. So what do we say? Let it be so. Amen. In the Edenvale community, Pastor just touched on this just a little bit. That's a beautiful community. If you don't know, it's about 2.5 miles away from here on Monterey Highway. It's actually the closest neighborhood in need to our church. It just makes a lot of sense that God put us right here. And so what we're doing right now is we're doing turkey giveaways. We do Christmas presents. We do National Night Out, where we get out there with the neighbors. We grill some hot dogs. And we really love on that community. So say,
that's awesome.
That awesome. But you know what else we want to do? And Pastor touched on it. We're sending next week, for the last 6 weeks we've been training, 4 city chaplains from our church. You're going to be amazed and love the people that it is. We'll introduce you to them next week. They're going to be there 2 to 3 times a week for 2 to 4 hours walking the neighborhoods. These guys have been trained on grief counseling, on gang intervention, on compassion ministry. We're prayer walking the neighborhood next week to get really ready and kind of get a heart for the area. And we're going to launch these guys out, and that's going to be happening. I'll tell you what, it's not just going to be 2 sets of couples and 4 people. We're looking to send 10 to 20 neighborhood chaplains into that area until we see that neighborhood transformed with the love of God. Amen? Let it be so. Amen. Don't worry, we got like 6 more. We'll get it. I'm so proud of the school campus ministries that we're doing. Pastor Albert is leading on 2 campuses in our community, junior high campuses, reaching out to kids with after school programs. And I'll tell you guys, I did this for years with Pastor Albert. You don't understand. Some of these kids don't have mentors. They don't have families that are involved in their life. Sometimes you are the only God they're ever going to see, the only affirmation they're going to see. And Pastor Albert's doing an awesome job through his leaders. And I asked him, do you need more leaders? He said, no, I don't need more leaders. So we don't need more leaders, but we want to reach more campuses. So let's give the Lord a that's awesome for the work we're doing. But Pastor Albert said, he goes, you know what? I need more support teachers. I need more of these hosting teachers on the campuses. I said, well, how many do you want to reach? He says, well, I want to at least reach 10 campuses in the next several years. So what do we say? Let it be so that we get onto these campuses. Amen? Now, I want to highlight, and not many of them are here, but for the last 6 years, we've been doing a ministry called Cafe Lift. It's an open mic cafe from 8 to 11 p.m. at night here on your campus, right in your cafe. You wouldn't believe they're hitting 50 to 75 unsaved people per week, and it is awesome. They've been faithful throughout the years. They open the doors up to do slam poetry and music, and they just love on the community, and they love on unsaved people. That's awesome. Amen. And they are seeing salvations. Vanessa Martinez called me the other day. She goes, you know what? We're finally seeing people get saved. We just kept loving them and accepting them, how they are and who they are and what they do and their creative giftings. And all of a sudden, they're coming into salvation. So what do we want to do next with Cafe Lift? We want to set up small groups just for Cafe Lift members to come in after they get saved and assimilate them into the body, assimilate them into the community. Amen? Let it be so. Awesome. You guys know about the compassion ministry that we do. We give a whole lot of turkeys out every year. How many of you guys know that transforms a Thanksgiving for a family that couldn't have a Thanksgiving? We do Christmas presents. I take a picture of that tree every year when you guys bring those Christmas presents. I like the theme we're on right now is bicycles. You guys are awesome. How many of you guys have brought a bicycle? Can I just brag on you? Who's bought a bike before? Isn't that awesome? There are so many people raising their hands right now. We have just been able to bless the community with gifts of all sizes, all appreciated and valued. And we've just been knocking out of the park with Christmas and turkeys and backpacks. You guys did an awesome job. We got to deliver those backpacks to the Baldwin community. I got to sit down with the principal and talk to her. She goes, you know what, guys? We love your backpacks. Every single one of them is used. Every single one of them goes to a family that could not afford new school supplies and new backpacks. She goes, we so appreciate it. So isn't that awesome? But you know what she said? If you guys have more people and you guys don't mind, would you come do story time with the kids? Would you meet with them on campus during the school day? This is a born-again believing principal at the Baldwin School. She says there's more room for you guys to impact these kids. Some of their parents don't come home till 9 p.m. at night. And these are little kids. How many of you guys know we can make a bigger impact? Let it be so. Amen. So we got a community center on the other side of the building. How many of you guys have been over to the other side of the building? I don't know if a lot of you have. We're going to give you a tour in a couple months, bring you over there. But we have the wonderful Kids City facility, the skate park that Reality is fostering and using right now. But you know what? We want to do so much more. We just revamped our Taekwondo program. How many of you guys knew that Gateway has a Taekwondo program? Okay, like six of us knew about it. Well, we just got all brand new equipment. We're reaching about 75 different families in the community. Their wonderful work that Zach Headley started with, and we've passed it on, and it's working towards and reaching more families and reaching people in the community. If they can't afford it, we're helping them afford it. How many of you guys know that extracurricular activities are important for kids? Keep them busy, keep them off the streets, and keep them into a program that teaches them discipline. We've been reaching Duck Pond families, 2,500 families on the books. Can you believe that? In our Kid City area, that's awesome. we're open 4 days a week. We're getting about 50 to 75 community families and their children into our building on a weekly basis. How many of you guys can say, that's awesome? But you know what we want to do? We want to do more than that. Here's what we see happening. We're connecting them with social services. We're connecting them with dental and vision, emotional help. We're creating groups for them where not only can they come and have a safe indoor play space with their kids, but now we're starting to say, hey, what else can we help you with? What else can we do for you? What other needs do you have in your life that we can connect you to? This Tuesday, we'll be doing about 50 dental procedures and screening. We have dentists coming in to help kids with their teeth. And how many of you guys can say, let it be so? We want to do more for these families. And you know what else? We're dreaming of a community center, not just the Duck Pond area, not just the skate park area. We want to blow it out, guys. We want to get some basketball courts in there. We want to get the skate park dialed in. We want to go indoor and outdoor. We want to open up that place for maybe potential summer programs for kids, kids that are in need that have nowhere to go during the summer months. We want to open it up to after-school programs possibly. How many of you guys are getting excited when we think about a 66,000-square-foot building and 30,000 of that square foot could be open to our community on a weekly basis? Wouldn't that be cool? Let it be so. Amen. We're doing our, this one, you can't say that's awesome because we're not doing it yet, but I feel really passionate about this. I want to do outreach small groups. You know, maybe we'll just do them seasonally, or maybe we'll just have a few. But for all the things we're doing in the community, we don't want to just meet people's needs practically and physically. We want to meet them emotionally and spiritually. Amen? So we want to set up groups within our small groups led by people like ourselves that would just say, you know what? I want to do a small group at my house. It focuses on barbecue, but it gets to know people. It gets to give them the salvation message. It gets to walk them through their problems. It gets to serve them and love them. So we want to see outreach small groups all throughout our church, because guess what? If we're in Edenville and we're in Las Casitas and we're on the school campuses and we got a community center going on, how many of you guys know that all those families that we're reaching are going to have to come into somewhere, and small groups are the best way to connect with them before they come and join us on a Sunday morning? Wouldn't that be awesome? So let's say, let it be so. Amen. And many of you guys know about our justice ministry, but if you don't, God put on our hearts back in 2006. We started getting involved with the justice community, and we were giving money to International Expressions and National Expressions, but the Lord called us to engage further in the area of anti-human trafficking here in Santa Clara County. So through a series of events, the Lord has positioned us as a church to be the foremost leading advisors for not only churches and parachurches, but for city and county and state officials where we're advising on the areas of anti-human trafficking and what can we do with this hurting population and how can we serve them. So I haven't given you an update in a while, but things have been going really, really great. We're looking in December to make a formal, it's going to be televised if you want to watch it. We're going to be giving our formal recommendations about aftercare facilities and the differences and the balances of how you serve this victim population. We're doing that through our partner organization that is in place. And we're getting, guys, so close to presenting to our city, this city here, the Santa Clara County, the first trauma-informed, phase-based residential treatment center that is going to blow the world away for the first time ever in America, bringing an aftercare center for girls that have been trafficked out on the street, been exploited, into a residential treatment program where they can get restored, they can get healed, they can get loved on, and they can go on and thrive in their future. Isn't that exciting? Let's say, let it be so. Well, that was a mouthful, and I didn't even touch the wonderful ministries that we're partnered with, like Real Options, the City Peacemakers. We're doing so many things, guys, and I just want to tell you about them because I'm excited and I'm passionate, and I want you to be excited and passionate with me. I'm not looking for a life commitment. I'm looking just for you to say that prayer today. Lord, just let me start singing, Lord. Lord, start tugging on my heart. Get me the heart, Lord God, that you have, and Lord, start speaking to me. And I'm going to be available to you on November 13th at 7 p.m. We're going to meet in the cafe, and we're going to talk about these are great things we're doing. How can I connect in a small way? How can I be a part? How can I see? And then how can I meet the need in our community? Amen? You guys excited? All right, Pastor David.
Which way is it? There it is. There I am. That took a few minutes to explain, but I want this to get deep into our heart. Would you stand with me? And we're just going to come to a moment of prayer. I'd like to invite the prayer team to come just right now. Just begin to make your way. There might be some people here who need a touch physically, spiritually. We're going to approach the throne of God. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to give us eyes, to open our eyes. This is not a time to recruit. This is a time for God to touch our hearts and to make us who he wants us to be. And I believe that really begins with prayer. So I want you just to take this prayer seriously and let's say this prayer aloud to the Father. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that I am not invisible to you. You see everything about my spiritual condition. Lord Jesus, I turn to you in faith today. I ask you to heal me and open. Let's put our hands at our eyes one last time and say that again. I ask you to heal me and open my eyes. I surrender my all to you, and I trust you to use me for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. I'm so glad we could be together today. I pray the Lord would touch your heart. I pray the Lord will give you peace and grace. I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling in Christ and how much he has for you and how he wants to use you this week. I want to dismiss you with the blessing of the Lord. If you need prayer, come join the folks here at the front. Thanks for taking time today and being at Gateway. God bless you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.